KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have clear to partly cloudy skies, 9 degrees above zero. We look forward to be mostly cloudy today with a few flurries and a high of 25. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your trained home comfort specialist dealer. In Western Iowa news, a dive team is expected to help recover a truck that was spotted in the Missouri River southwest of Sergeant Bluff. An Iowa Natural Resources Department crew saw the truck roof at around 1:40 p.m. Monday. Woodbury County Sheriff's Lieutenant Tony Wingert said the truck was submerged near the boat ramp at Weedland Access Area off of 235th Street. The dive team will help a towing company hook up to the truck so it can be pulled out. Officials don't know when the truck went into the water. KJAN News time is 8:01.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
Well, the Cass County Board of Supervisors are set to meet this morning at 9 o'clock at the courthouse here in Atlantic, and when they convene, they'll act on approving information technology services agreement and the purchase of vote tabulation equipment. Approval of the IT services agreement with Solutions would mean the arrangement would continue a contract already in place, and it would be effect from January 1st, 2014 to June 30th, 2014. Approval of a new Unison Voting Solutions precinct-based system is needed, according to Auditor Dale Centerman, because the current voting equipment is out of date, heavy and hard to move, and the new equipment, if approved, is certified by the United States Election Assistance Commission. In other business, the board will act on authorizing a $20,000 down payment for the newly purchased property at 707 Poplar Street. The funds will be derived from the local option sales tax fund. The supervisors will also act on approving a resolution for a public hearing with regard to the vacating or closure of a portion of 644th Street in Cass County in Section 14 of Grove Township. The Fremont County Sheriff's Office Monday released a report on some recent arrests. Officials say two Riverton residents were arrested December 19th. 60-year-old Frederick Lee Miles was taken into custody for aggravated assault, domestic assault. And 48-year-old Linda Renee Meese was arrested for domestic abuse assault. Earlier this month, Governor Terry Branstad was considering a plan to let Iowans keep filing their personal income taxes under the current system or opt for a flatter, simpler system with fewer deductions. Branstad, however, is now abandoning that idea.
Well, I'll be real frank to say that with the present makeup of the Senate, and particularly with the present chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, I doubt that we're going to see anything significant on the tax front this year.
Branstad is a Republican. The Senate is led by Democrats. Iowa City Democrat Joe Bolcom, chairman of the Ways and Means Committee in the Senate, says Branstad's pick-your-tax system idea would significantly lower taxes on the wealthy, but do nothing to help middle- and lower-income Iowans. Branstad says with that kind of staunch Democratic opposition, there's no way a flat or flatter income tax can pass the Senate.
I'm realistic enough to know that this issue of reducing the income tax burden for both individuals and corporations, making Iowa more competitive, is probably something that will have to be addressed in the 2015 session.
Iowa income tax reduction will be an issue in the 2014 campaign, both for legislators and in his own race, according to Branstad.
There's significant differences between the parties on this issue, but I expect that Republicans will run on reforming and improving the tax structure, making us more competitive. We've already heard the Democrats say that they want a class warfare approach of raising taxes on some, reducing taxes on other. I don't think that's a wise or good public policy for the state.
Senator Jack Hatch, a Democrat candidate for governor, has proposed a plan he says would either reduce income taxes or keep them the same for 90% of Iowans. He'd cut taxes for those who earn less than $150,000 a year, while those who earn $200,000 or more would pay higher taxes. Hatch says that targets tax relief to middle-class working Iowans. At this time a year ago, Congress passed a one-year extension of the Farm Bill mainly to avoid a dramatic hike in milk prices. Congress failed to pass a new five-year Farm Bill in 2013, but U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack has assured Congress there won't be an immediate spike in dairy prices next month, as it will take several weeks for his agency to draft the rules that would put 1949-era dairy prices in place.
But it's not an indefinite amount of time, and it's not a long period of time.
Negotiators in Congress hope to pass a new five-year Farm Bill when the U.S. House and Senate reconvene in mid-January.
I think rural America has been quite patient with Congress, and I suspect that people are very tired and frustrated at the uncertainty that's occurred, but hopefully we are very close.
If that January deadline isn't met, however, Vilsack warns his agency will start enforcing the dairy program devised in 1949, as all subsequent farm bills have been a temporary five-year update of that original 1949 law.
When it becomes quite obvious that there is no agreement, then it is our responsibility under the law to institute those programs.
If Congress fails to pass a new farm bill in January, or at least a temporary extension of the 2008 farm bill, milk prices could rise to $7 a gallon. A newly released figures from the U.S. Census Bureau show that Iowa continues a trend of slow population increase. The state has an estimated population of 3,090,416 people as of July 1st last year. That's an increase of 15,377, or about a 0.5% increase in a year. The state's population is up about 1.4% from the 2010 census. Gary Krobe, coordinator of the State Data Center Program, which keeps track of Iowa's census figures, says Iowa's seen 26 straight years of population increase. The state ranks 30th in total population and is 32nd in the nation in the percent of population increase from 2010 to 2013. Nebraska has grown faster, showing a 2.3% increase from 2010 to 2013 and a 0.7% increase in a year. The Iowa Board of Medicine says the number of physicians in the state is increasing, but Iowa still has far fewer doctors for its population than the national average. The board says that Iowa had 6,414 active physicians in 2012 for a rate of 208.6 physicians per 100,000 people. That compares to a national rate of 260.5 physicians. Nationally, Iowa ranks 41st in active physicians. Massachusetts ranks first with a rate of 421.5 physicians per 100,000. Mississippi ranked last with a rate of 180.8 physicians. Iowa dropped from 40th to 41st, even though the number of Iowa physicians increased from 6,294 in 2010, when the rate was 208.2 active physicians per 100,000 people. The statistics are based on a report by the Association of American Medical Colleges. And the bitterly cold temperatures have heating systems running continuously, but a spokesperson for Alliant Energy says there's plenty of natural gas to meet the demand. Justin Foss says the extreme cold can sometimes cause transmission problems, but there haven't been any reports of major service interruptions.
You know, the one thing that we see more often when it gets this cold is carbon monoxide poisoning. We know that during the winter, furnaces run, but when it gets this cold, furnaces are running in overtime.
Carbon monoxide is an odorless and colorless, and the symptoms of carbon monoxide poisoning often mimic flu symptoms.
We encourage people to have a carbon monoxide detector in their house. And actually, it's best to have several in your house, one near the bedrooms and another on each floor.
The detectors will alert you if the carbon monoxide level gets too high in your home. MidAmerican spokeswoman Abby Bottenfeld says that you can run into problems when you use supplemental heating.
You never want to use a grill or space heater or portable generator intended for outdoor use inside a home. Never attempt to heat a home with a gas range. All can emit that deadly carbon monoxide.
Bottenfield also warns against piling snow or using shovels around outside gas meters and regulators, as that could cause gas leaks. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, the number of coalition deaths in Afghanistan has dropped dramatically this year as compared to last year. An Associated Press count shows that in 2013, there were 151 NATO deaths compared to 394 in 2012. But for Afghanistan's army and police, the numbers have gone up. For them, the casualty count this year was 2,767. Last year, it was 1,870. There's better news today on the condition of Formula One champion Michael Schumacher, who suffered serious head injuries while skiing in the French Alps on Sunday. Doctors in France say the 44-year-old is showing small but surprising signs of improvement following a second surgery, but doctors say they still can't offer insight into his prognosis. Locations throughout the U.S. are getting ready to ring in the new year tonight. In New York City, about 1 million people are expected to pack the streets in Midtown Manhattan to see the crystal ball drop at midnight. Australia has already celebrated with fireworks over Sydney Harbor. And in Dubai, the crowds are promised some 500,000 fireworks synchronized by computers. News time is 8:11.
I told you this house was too good to be true. We haven't even been here a month, and the furnace won't start, the toilet keeps backing up, and the bathtub has a constant drip.
I told you I will fix everything this weekend.
No, that's what you said last weekend before the toilet broke. And remember the last time you tried to fix the furnace? Yeah, the fire department had to come, and we were the laughing stock of the whole town. Seriously, if you don't call Bob today, I'm going to stay with my parents.
Hi, this is Bob at Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, your local train dealer in Fontenelle. Let me help you keep the fire burning in your marriage and not in your basement by completing all those honey-do lists for you. No job is too big or small when it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing. Just call me at 1-877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
In our funeral announcements this morning, Norma Rasmussen, age 90, of Walnut, died Friday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Funeral services for Norma Rasmussen will be this morning at 10:30 at the First Presbyterian Church in Walnut. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Leonard Hartvig Anderson, age 91, of Atlantic, died Thursday at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Leonard Anderson will be today at 10:30 at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Ralph Eggers, age 82, of Shelby, died Thursday in Harlan. Funeral services for Ralph Eggers will be today at 11 o'clock at the United Lutheran Church in Shelby. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Shelby has arrangements. Daniel Wagner, age 54, of Harlan, died Friday at Murtu Medical Center. A celebration of life service for Daniel Wagner will be today at 11 o'clock at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. William Bill Kinsey, age 76, of Rural Stewart, died Friday. Funeral services for Bill Kinsey will be held on Thursday at 10 o'clock at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Robert Bigelow, age 86, of Fontenelle, died Sunday. Funeral services for Robert Bigelow will be on Thursday at 11 o'clock at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has arrangements. Greg Cullen, age 57, of Peculiar, Missouri, and formerly of Messina, died Sunday at the Kansas University Medical Center in Kansas City. A massive Christian burial service for Greg Cullen will be Thursday at 11 a.m. at the St. Sabina Catholic Church in Belton, Missouri. The Cullen Funeral Home of Raymore, Missouri, has arrangements. Margaret Pringnitz, age 76, of Anita, died Friday at her home. Memorial services for Margaret Pringnitz will be Thursday at 2 o'clock at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita. Deanna Miller, age 73, of Stewart and formerly of Menlo, died Thursday at the Stewart Community Care Center. A gathering of family and friends for Deanna Miller will be held from 4 to 6 p.m. Thursday at the Beacom Apartment Community Center in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Hector Rodriguez, age 29, of Loveland, Colorado, the son of Eva and Jeff Kraft of Coon Rapids, has died. Funeral services for Hector Rodriguez will be Friday at 10:30 at the Annunciation Church in Coon Rapids. Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids has the arrangements. Joyce Bua Butker, age 79, of Shelby, died Saturday. A private graveside service for Joyce Butker will be held at a later date in the Graceland Cemetery at Avoca. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Kevin Floyd Edwards, age 52, of Cumberland, died Sunday at his parents' home in Cumberland. No services are planned at this time for Kevin Edwards. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has the arrangements. Norman Kreese, age 81, of Coon Rapids, died Monday at St. Anthony Hospital in Carroll. Services for Norman Kreese are pending at the Odie Funeral Home in Bayard. Savannah Cannon, age 28, of Atlantic and formerly of Afton, died unexpectedly at her home Friday. Services for Savannah Cannon are currently pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. And Serena Helinski, age 37, of Anita, died Friday at home. Services for Serena Helinski are pending at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita. The news and funeral announcements were brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.